Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Righteous is who I am. And with this confidence, we will do the works of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Be seated, everybody. Thank you. I do miracles. Holy is who I am. I do miracles. I do miracles, yeah. Righteous is who I am. I do miracles. I do miracles. Holy, holy is who I am. I do miracles. I do miracles. Justify is who I am. I do miracles. I do miracles. Holy, holy is who I am. I do miracles. I do miracles.
Perfect.
Perfect is who I am. I do.
I do miracles.
I do.
I do miracles.
Righteous. Righteous is who I am. Yeah. I do miracles. Yeah.
I do miracles.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what we sing in songs. We sing reality. We sing reality. Don't stop playing. We sing reality. Huh? We sing reality. Oh, last ever, last take a valorant de Hosamba, last take a villa de Zada de Rastake de de Hosa Valero se Valia Zate de Lazatolas take a pillar, Zotileros take a bidan. Holy Zuo, I am. I do miracles. Satila Rose Volitate. Sapali malaba zapali rosa palamante kapalemo soto manimo soto manimo zetele moze bota rase ketele oze poliante ke poli zetosh zake lanste ke pila zoto li rase ketele oza kanta la roste ke pila mozandela gozlide leke leonte popa rosa katile mozata Kotali mo se bonda koratete, kantele ma zemba le ketola stava. Jele bole rosa bala mo steke pide mo zapale mo steke te male mo soto katila mo soto le ma zatela rasteke tides. Thank you Lord, kele rosa tete. Lale malamo ze poli rasete le mo steke poli rakete male ma zatelo stekati. Ko talimo ze poli rase poli akete de de da da. Le male o ze poli rase poli makerota ko pala o steka pala ma shate. Lake malamo ze poli rase ke pile mo ze poli ma ze tele a steke tile mo so pile ntote. Glarunda pola tete. Ye kolanda ro dalizo valizo valora te te te. Ye polamo so koranta, so polranta kolantora te. Ye lamo se polirasteke. Min tekeli ozata kamalas teke pile resteke dide. Yalas teke pile rose pile makendeda glory to God. Glory to God. Kande rosa contante. Katula zo poli raketete dada. Lima limo ze poli ro dadade. Yeko vato yeke loza tata. La kuranti sto gevile oste kevile koste kafila kaste kevila tirandede. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yetolaze vola rostaga, sakuntili malirake volante losate, kapale mazatite. Hallelujah. See, you have to work on the frequency of your speaking. You have to work on the frequency at which you speak about who you are in Christ. You have to work on how often you speak about your reality. Now, you can say, I am consistent. But how often are you speaking about these things? How often are you talking about your righteousness? How often are you talking about how powerful you are in Christ? How often? See, at times you think that, but I have been maintaining this consciousness for a long time. But you have not been speaking of it enough. It's in how often. How often are you saying it? Consistency with your mouth. We studied on Wednesday when he is saying this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Well, we have a better thing that must not depart from our mouth. not the book of the law. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I've got my reality. Say, it does not depart. So at times, it's not about, I've been in a word church for the past 5 years, past 4 years. No, how often are you putting the words in your mouth? How consistent? There is something that long piling up of confession does to you. On Sunday when we come here, we just pick the word of God and we just confess it. We are giving you a consciousness. We are baptizing with a consciousness. When you're in church, you don't just say, okay, this is church. I do it in church. When I get home, I follow my way again. No, you carry church home. Everything you have been taught in church, you carry it home. That mindset, you take it home. Oh, glory to God. How consistent? How often? That's the secret behind all those our long hours of prayers when we do them. It's because when you do the same thing too rapidly, your brain has no excuse but just to cooperate. That's the same mind behind what we call healing school. At times, some people, you just call them for a program, pray for them, lay hands on them, they will not be able to receive. But you bring them to a healing school. What will happen in the healing school? Every day they are being taught. Every day they are being ministered to. Every day. In fact, the way they try to do it in the 80s, in Kentucky meetings and address, they will have a house for them, like a mission house. From there, you are coming to the service. It's not a time that you will be prayed for now. You go and watch African Magic Small, you go and water down what they just prayed for you over. After you come back, you are back to church. No. Consistent. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We must master that in our generation. Put the same thing there rapidly over time. That's why some people will say, if I pray for like 15 hours stretch, that you see better result than when you pray for maybe 2-3 hours, 5 times on different days. It's true. Stretch. You ask yourself, how often? Is it about church? Because we are still going to study spiritual growth practically in this place. It's not about, okay, thank God, I know there's no condemnation for me. I'm in Christ. I know I've got the power of God. It's about you must become like your leader. And more. You must. Come on. And more. But it will happen by consistency. You are just wrapping the same thing in over and over again. So rapidly. You are not giving time for doubt. And let me just, there's these guys that I've forgotten their name. These are fast food guys. The new one, there's a joke he was making yesterday. I just stumbled upon it on Facebook. I said, okay, I've not watched this thing for months. Let me just listen to him. And as I was seeing the progression of the video, it was tending towards a storyline of how a believer would be unable to cast out a demon. I was seeing the progression. I know that is where the story is going to. Immediately, I just stop it. I don't want. By joke or by seriousness, don't teach me, don't tell me that a believer will say, demon, go out, and demon will say, hey, is it you? I don't want to know. Don't baptize me with that consciousness. I've got better things to think about. There are things that's why it's good. It's better to watch horror movie that there's no Jesus there than for you to watch some ever movies or Mount Zion where a believer, at least all those your horror movies, they are not using Jesus, but when you are watching Mount Zion, you are seeing a believer trying to do something and he's not able to do it because of something, because of just a little thing. And that same thing will now follow you home. Follow you to the place of ministry. Water down your consciousness. I do miracles. I think about miracles. I meditate upon these things consistently. So when I'm giving you some retreats of prayer, some long time that we just pray so much, it's about consciousness. Get it. Grab it and don't let it go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's the wisdom behind programs like WCCL10, like meetings that you just be there for a long hours. Some of you leave meetings, your tongues will change. So you leave meetings, you just like a faculty has been unlocking you. Consistency. I'm stressing you so much in this place, coming from far, just for you to come out here again. I want you to get it. So when you are at home, you don't see, you are not, it's not break time. Your work is not break time. Every moment you can smuggle, baptize yourself again with a consciousness of who you are. Don't say I will do it once in 3 days. You will not see it. But in next 5 years, you will see me just a worker in the defense assembly. That's not what I want. It's when you just suddenly you can find 2 months in your life that every day you are it will make a difference. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. See, some things that you will not hear in your daily devotion, when you do 12 stretch, you will hear it. And it's man. It's not that it's God that is you are that is seeing the prayer. You know, it's man. That stretch, it will kill. Look, like some people like my brother, you know, I should mention your name a bit. So people like that, you need like 80 hours prayer stretch. You will now become okay. God, yeah, I am. Send me 80 stretch. Just deal like this. Someone is there. He needs 81. Heretito, is that you? Oh, glory to God. What will he do for you? Because we all have, like, you know, if you are the type that your mind is very, very analytical, you are very good in school, and you are very good in calculation, you are very good in planning your life, calculation. My brother, when you are in Christianity, you will need much more prayer, much more study of the word than somebody that is just a simple. Have you observed that some dollars, they do well in church than brilliant students? Well, that one will just come to church, just receive. But you are analytical. People like Ojus, that it will question everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you get what I'm saying? You must drown down yourself. You must drown it in prayers. Drown it in study. Drown it in seeing reality. And we are still a great church. Amen. Praise God. Our salvation. Some say we are not a great church again. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Later. Part 18. Good evening, everybody. Okay. Hope you have a nice time. Okay. I mean, at work. Oh. Thank you for that song. Righteous is who I am. Holy is who I am. I do miracles. I'm looking forward to maybe a time before the end of this year. All these wonderful lyrics that we had. First bring in Oluwaya. We'll record everything. Then if some of you can go to the studio. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Champion, you're welcome back. You're welcome. Pastor Jeremiah, you're welcome. I see you. Pastor Michael, you're welcome. You wait for an invitation before I see you. Nah. Oh, glory. Oh, Jude. You're welcome. You're celebrating. So, you don't speak about the message of salvation without its assurance. You don't speak about the message of salvation without talking about its assurance. That assurance is a key thing. Hebrews 6. from verse 16. God wants men to not just to be saved, but to be sure that they are saved. Not just to be saved, but to be sure. He wants them assured. Assured. Hebrews 6 from verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and our oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, unchangeability, the unchangeable nature, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Think about that. God was not trying to save them, but God was trying to show to them the unchangeable nature of his promise. He was trying to show to them how unchangeable what he has done will be. So he now went the step further to confirm it by an oath. That by what? Next verse. Yes. That by two immutable things, in that it was impossible for God to lie. Why? Two things. God spoke and God confirmed it. Two things. He spoke, I will do it. Then he confirmed what he said. Thank you, you are coming. You didn't bring a note. God, you are coming to my church. Huh? Hey, note. Where's the Bible? E-Bible, or his watch Bible. Boogie, help his ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. For we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to what? Lay hold upon the hope set before us. 19, want to go. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. 20, wherein the foreigner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. So it's a message with an assurance. See that verse 19. See which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both what? Sure. And what? Steadfast. Say sure. Sure. Say steadfast. John 10, 27. You must be loud about the irreversible nature of salvation. Don't preach salvation and you are saying, well, I know you are saved. No, you must talk about how finite. How strong that potency, the irreversible nature. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, that should be enough. If it's about salvation, that is enough. I mean, in fact, to say, I give unto them eternal life is enough. Let's be counting the repetitions in this place. Number one, I give unto them what? Eternal life. That's number one. And they shall never, no, that's number two. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my, number three. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. Number four. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's. Number five. I and my Father. Six. If you can explain each of those concepts. Six confirmation of the same reality. In case you think Jesus will dump you somewhere, he went further to confirm. God wants men to be sure. See, we have a lot of people today on Facebook, everywhere, they want us to preach salvation, but they don't want us to talk to use the word eternal salvation. They hear eternal security and you know, all their bubbles just burst. Say, no, just talk about it carefully. Talk about it. Why is people will see? Is it your salvation? Now you, is it your blood? Praise God. God wants men to speak about it with conviction. Conviction. Not in passing. Not just, yes, you are saved, praise God. Now let's proceed to other things. No. We sit down there. Amen, amen. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55.
You tell a man, receive what I am telling you. You will never die again. You tell an adult that you met in the maybe on the street or in the hotel, or though I didn't know what you are looking for there. You tell her, hey, this salvation you have received, you are different from everybody around you. You will never smell hell again. Clear words. We having such hope, we use what? Great plainness of speech. I said 1 Corinthians 15, verse what? 1, 2, go, let's read. All death, where? All grave, where is that? Pause. Why should Paul make a statement like this? Just think, to what intent? No, look at this. Look at the Bible. Eh? I know. Why the need? He just said, death, come. Where's your sting? Grave, come. Where is that your victory? Hallelujah. See the next verse. The sting of death is what? Sin, right? And the strength of sin is the law. So he mentioned the law. See verse 57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord. Say assurance. That is like an open challenge. Frank challenge on death. Now, this was the same death that swallowed up, that devoured all the men of the Old Testament. Both saints and wicked men. Now, I'll be explaining a concept for you today. Nobody was just free. Romans 5. Death was a tyrannical ruler. The fall of Adam gave death an entrance into the race of man. Death was tyrannical. Therefore, life too must be. I don't want to use the word tyrannical. The word tyrant is already a bad word. But death too must be oppressive in nature. Life too, now, it must be oppressive. Do you get that? Oh, glory. Okay, Romans 5, 12.
All of you, Brosi, Pastor Joy, etc. on live stream, we celebrate you, okay? Are you there? Verse 12, want to go?
Wherefore, as by one sin entered into the world, and death by what? Sin, okay? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Say death by sin. Say not death by God. Genesis 2, 16. Death by sin. Death by sin. Death by sin. Death is by sin.
Genesis 2, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and I'm pausing, I'm waiting for you to get there. I look at everybody. You must open all scripture. That's why you're in church. You write, you open. And you read together. Okay. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. 17. Want to go? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, I will come and kill you. Thou is there? So, what will kill him? The eating. He didn't say, the day you eat, I will now send judgment on you. The judgment is your eating. Do you remember John chapter 12, 47? Remind me that verse. That said, he that rejected my words, as one that judging. The words that what? The word that I have spoken, right? In this church. The words that who? He has spoken. That's where I put it. The old I have spoken is the Greek word. Remember? exam 2 weeks time. Lalio. That's the Greek. I have spoken. The whole of I have spoken there is lalio. It can mean he has spoken. When you look at the context, it's the word he has spoken. So it's not the word you have that Jesus has spoken. The people say all the scripture that you read that you didn't eat to, that the scripture will stand as a person and testify against you on the last day. No, the context of the scripture is that the word that he spoke against the counsel of God, we judge him. So back to Genesis 2:17, he said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That surely die is just, you will die there in the Hebrew. You will die very well. Spiritual death. Separation very well. You will die, then you will die. You will die. You will so much die. Funny enough, some people say that what he's saying is that you will die spiritually, then you will die physically. No. Moses was trying to explain spiritual death. That although that he's not just about you walking up and down, you will die very well. And when Adam died very well, after he ate, and was he still alive? Yes. He was not alive again before God. But was he still moving up and down? Yes. After that, he still lived 930 years. Matthew 20. Okay, see that verse 13 before you move to Matthew. Now, this is the issue. Even people that didn't disobey or offend God's commandments, that didn't people, the men of faith in the Old Testament, this death still reigned over them. They still went under that captivity of death. I will show you now. See verse 13. Yes. For unto the law. Yes. Look at the Bible. Come on. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin, Romans 5:13. We are hearing unto the law. You are still looking at Genesis. Will you find that one there? Okay, sorry. Glory to God. Good, let's read. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Hold on, let me respond 13 again. Say before the law. When was the law given? When was the law given? Which day? Prove it to me. When was the law given? Come and be fast. Chorus answer. Yes. You are right. You say it loud, nay. Exodus 20, right? So from the epistles, how can you prove that was when the law was given? Hebrews 8. Verse 10, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant. Hallelujah. So I regard them as the Lord. You learn to remember details like that. Come on. So he said, until the law. So before that period of the law, sin was in the world. Sin was there. The law did not bring sin. The law was just a megaphone for sin. The law simply came to announce, to amplify sin and death. The law simply came to bring physical consequences for sin. But the real consequence of sin, which is death, has been reigning even from Genesis 3. The law did not bring an extra spiritual consequence for sin. The real consequence for sin is this Genesis 2:16. The day you eat, you will die. You will die. Wallahi, you will die. Not you. Amen. So, spiritual death has been reigning even when the law was not given. When the law came, what did the law do? You start seeing people were now being punished physically for things done. Fire is coming down now, destroying people. David did the sin, and people are pushing him up and down. That was the law. Korah, Dathan, and Abraham, that was the law. And Moses, of course. Stone Achan to death, that was the law. So, but before then, and during then, and then, before then, after then, the real consequence of sin has always been there. But do you know the benefit of the law? That spiritual death, think about Adam. When do you think Adam
later knew that something is wrong with humanity. After his second child, he said, wow, this one is fresh, is mortal, subject to death. And he has lived long before then. So the law simply came to show man that there is a problem. There is a problem. Because it will be difficult to tell a man that is just jiving, doing his things up and down, like that is very good at, you are dead. He said, no, I just had a baby last week. He said, no, you are dead. Praise God. Good. Follow me. So, 14 said, nevertheless, despite the fact that sin was not imputed, that means there was no physical consequence for sin before the law, death still reigned from Adam to, that spans how many years? Think. How many years? Adam to Moses? Think now. Just 2,000 what? Like 2,500 years minimum. Around that time. Because 2,000 years for Noah, then Noah to Abraham, then Noah to Moses was a while too. So, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? So now, learn the grammar. Are you ready? E.g., Abel was not a sinner. He was called righteous. But he's dead. Okay, slowly. Matthew 23. So you have to know the difference between you have to use the terminologies. You are a sinner, you are an unbeliever, they are all different. A sinner is different from a dead man. Hold on, okay? Follow me. See Matthew 23, verse 35. I'm slow today. God, we have two topics to go, and you must not sleep. Anybody that sleeps, where are they going? Kaduna Church, right? Hallelujah. Kaduna workers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 23:35. I've not really announced that on Facebook. Waiting for a better design. Once you go, let's read. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous unto the blood of Zacharias, son of. Now, who was speaking there? Jesus, right? He called Abel righteous. In the month of two weakness, let's do it. Hebrews 11:4. He said, why are you at the back? Hebrews 11:4. Want to go? Let's read. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, he was righteous, but dead. I am not talking about physical death. He was righteous, yet separated from God. We today, we are righteous, but also in unity with God. Glory. Why? Because the sacrifice has been paid. Abel was righteous, but something is missing in the equation. Yes, you are righteous. Yes, you have obtained a good report, but something has not yet been done. Until it is done, death reign. So, both under the law and before the law, no man could approach God. See that John 3:13. John chapter 3, verse 13. Think about it. John 3:13. Think about it. If you are cooking, you want to cook beans with hot plate, or even with stove, and this is what you did. You on the hot plate between for 10 minutes, then you off it again. Then you waited for 3 hours. You want another 10 minutes? You off it again. Then you waited for another extra 3 hours. You want for another 10 minutes? You off it again. Then you kept doing it, kept doing it until the 10th time. 10 minutes, you off it again. Will the beans be done? How do you cook a beans? Students, hot plates. How do we do it then? Hot. You know the name of hot? Hot. Red flame. So, hot. But what do you do? In 2 hours, maybe if you have an hazardous hot plate in school, 1 hour, the beans is done. Cover it. Pressure pot. Abi, you cook it. Tell your neighbor, say, cook yourself. Face a retito. Say, cook. Just don't do. I'm just trying to reiterate. This example just came to me. What I just said initially. Cook yourself. Don't just. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm in charge. I'm righteous. Who does it? Even Abel was righteous. He's dead. Amen. Even John that did no miracle, he was righteous too. Don't you know? John the Baptist. It's not just come to church. Ah, hallelujah. You know some people, when they are in church, eh? Do you know why they are jumping so much? It's because they have not experienced, they have not been feasting with reality over the week. So when they just come to church, you know, I am holy. Wow! It's not reality, it's just his laziness. They have forgotten. You cook. They will call you names. They call Jesus name. They call Paul name. So who do you want to use? You want to resemble? Bad Jesus or Samuel the Sorcerer? Who do you want to resemble? Demas. We have some. Okay, they didn't come. They're on their way. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So don't do the same. So don't forget what I'm saying. You cook yourself. Like in a short time, you do so much. Simple. Short time, so much. You don't wait for service, for vigil, special programs. That is why I'm having issues doing special programs in this place. I don't want you to just come, just do. Mountain fire! And then, what happens after that? How was it? Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Okay, I've missed how many versions of Game of Thrones? I mean, let me go and resume. Cook yourself, okay? Cook yourself. Okay, John 3:13. John 3:13. Let's read together. One to go. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in. Hallelujah. He said, no man, none, has ascended up to heaven. Well, the same thing is in, we have a similar one in John 1:18. Read it. John 1:18. Yes, no man has what? Seen God at any time. All those statements, they are description of spiritual death. Do you remember when I was teaching you about holiness in the Old Testament? When every time you are seeing that, God is saying, how I am holy. I am holy. And we are still saying it, and we are still saying it today. Do you know the meaning? When God is saying, you're saying that, oh, wow, only thou art holy. Only you are holy. You know what I mean? It means God is separate. Holiness is separation. Agios in the Greek, I've forgotten the Hebrew version. It means God is separate. So when God is saying, I am holy in the Old Testament, he's saying, I am different from you. I am not in your class. But guess what? In the New Testament, we are called holy more times than God. Holy priesthood, royal priesthood, choosing generation, holy nation. 1 Corinthians 1, to the saints, what are saints? Holy people, sanctified in Christ. As he who has called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. Say, I'm in unity with God. So all these statements, no man has seen God, no man has ascended up to heaven, they are all description of spiritual death, the reign of death. God is holy, is a reign of death. Today, he is holy with us. Then he was holy from them. Today we are both holy. Hallelujah. He that is joined to the Lord is what? Juliet, what are you doing there? So all those when you are seeing he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. All that it wasn't available at all until Christ finally came to purify mankind by his death. Now, do you know that spiritual death not only affects mankind? It affected God too. Why is a place called hell? Just casually. Leave torment. Torment is majorly because we may not know what that torment is. People can be tormented with a lot of things. You can beat a lady with cane. Pa, pa, pa! She can forget in 2 hours. But let the boo break up with her. That is torment. So, torment is relative. Hey, Jesus. You will see some 3 months. It's like this, jelly. Don't worry. I'm still coming in this place. All of you that you are jellyfish in this place, I will pimp you up. All of you that you just see a man, you're just here, I love you. With the word of God, I will pimp you up. It won't be a marriage seminar. Word. With the word. Somebody come and tell you nonsense. Are you serious? Okay, are you sure you're a Muslim or you're about to become a Christian? They're celebrating themselves. Glory to God. So I was saying, so don't use torment. It's relative to the person and to what the person prized the most. Now, so what do you think spiritual death did to God? If after David died, if God can still walk up to him and say, wow, how far, the man after my heart, then is he really hell? Will God walk into hell? Answer. Will God walk into hell? Now, I know you have a verse in Samuel that is saying that even if I make my bed in hell and you are there, that is just a system. That is just trying to talk about God. God is everywhere. That's not what we are saying now. So, do you get what I'm saying? Because if you are, okay, you didn't get that. I've forgotten that Psalms. Remember the Psalm of David that say, even if I make 39, okay, even if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. The question is, okay, that is there. Does that mean the hell is no longer hell? Because that would mean the man that had accident, all his bones cut off. So is God not there too? So now that would mean the presence of God. You must watch out. Watch how you relate it to experiences. So now, what does spiritual death do to God? It cut off relationship. David went to hell and God could not relate with him again. You cannot give him phone call. If God can come there, it won't be hell again. The Abraham, the man after my heart. So just imagine that between Enoch worked with God so well. Wow. Glorious man. And he was not. In fact, he wanted to disappear and just make heaven like that. And as he was just going, something just said, go back, go there. Do you get that? You get that? You didn't get it? Or you thinking Enoch is in heaven? I mean, Enoch went to heaven then. He's there now. Eh? But then, no. So, spiritual death prevented God from fellowshipping. So, thousands of years, the separation continued. See that Luke 16. Death imprisoned all men. So we learned that the good ones stayed in Abraham's bosom and then some people, the wicked ones stayed in hell. Let's see something there today. Luke 16:19. Please try and listen to everything I'm saying. Don't pick anything that I've not said. Are you ready? We analyze this one a bit grammatically. IJ, are you there? Good. Want to go? Now, Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man
which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, right? 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, it is commonly said that anytime that you see Jesus using a people's name, that is no more a parable. That is a literal story. But hold on. Not everything you are seeing here is literal. But let's see it. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, everything you saw from verse 19 to verse 21, they are all literal. Because they happened on earth. But now, Jesus wants to talk about a realm that is not the earth. So, you will see a lot of figurative stuff. Let's see it. 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The beggar died. Who carried him? Angels. Into where? Brethren, see, upon our glorification, it is not angels that will carry us. So we ascend ourselves. Amen? So if you suddenly see one angel carrying you in a dream, tell him, drop me. Okay. Verse 23. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, the word afar off there simply means from a distance. He saw Abraham from a distance. Just follow. Now, the word bosom, B-O-S-O-M, is the Greek word K-O-L-P-O-S. K-O-L-P-O-S. When he said, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, it simply means, I saw Lazarus in front of Abraham. Abraham's bosom does not mean Abraham's apartment. It's like bosom. It's just like my baby sat in my laps. That's Greek word K-O-L-P-O-S. P-O-S. So, it's like the front of the body between the arms. Like somebody, like Lazarus in Abraham's embrace. 24. So that is just talking about, I saw Lazarus where Abraham is. Are you with me? 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may what? Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, the word tormented, that's where we're going to start from. The word tormented is that Greek word O-D-U-N-A-O. Sounds like a Yoruba word. O-D-U-N-A-O. Odunayo, right? No, Odunayo. Odunayo. So, it simply means in sorrow, in grief. Now, I take it again. He said, I am tormented in this flame. To be tormented means to be in anguish, to be in grief, to distress oneself, to be in sorrow. Let me just show you two places where that word is used. It doesn't talk about something doing anything to you. It doesn't talk about demons torturing him. Hey. Any man that goes to hell and comes out, what happens to him? In hell, do we have time? No, right? If a man enters hell and comes out, what does that signify? He has paid for his sins. He is not going back again. So if demon... You that you bind every demon from the pit of hell. Any demon that is coming from hell is born again. Sorry, don't cough. Okay, you know where I'm going already. Any demon that is from the pit of hell is already born again, no?
So demons don't torture people in hell. We have worse things that torture people in hell.
Mm-hmm. We see it. Come down. I'm not saying they are scorpions. They are. We see it. Flow with me. So, see verse 48. Yes, look. Okay, sorry. Rush to Luke 2:48. Let's see how that word tormented is being used in two other texts by the same Luke. There's a way the translators will just paint that L as torment. Luke 2:48. And when they saw him, they were so amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee what? Sorrowing. That is the same Greek word there, sorrowing. See Acts 20:38. Acts 20:38. Want to go? What started this? Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. Sorrowing. So, the rich man was in sorrow. Tormented in this flame. You have not seen fire, please, brethren. Okay? He said, tormented in this flame. What is the flame? Flame of what? It's not fire. What did he say initially? He saw Abraham afar off from a distance. He is somewhere. He saw Abraham afar off and he is in sorrow. Flame of separation. Write that down. Flame of separation. Now, the next thing is, we saw there, he said that he might dip the tip of water and cool my tongue. Now, see the figurative tense. So, he didn't say that he should dip his hand in the water, travel from the afar off to where I am, and put it in my mouth. He didn't also say that he might dip his hand in the water and cross the gulf and come and put something in my mouth. Say figurative. So, what will that signify? Just follow me. See verse 25, Luke 16. Be back there. Come on. 25. Are you back? Are you there? But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus receive evil things. But now he is comforted, Jesus, and thou art tormented. Please write this down. You enjoyed the pleasures of sin. That is talking to the rich man. He is not saying it is a big, big food that the rich man eats that is his own reward, that now he has to suffer. He was saying that you are basking in unbelief. You are basking in rebellion to God. Are you with me? So that was also figurative. See why I said that. See verse 26. So it's not because he was rich that he was there. See verse 26. Are you there? And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Say fixed. So that they which won't pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us. Wow. Glory to God. They cannot go to you. You cannot come to us. So now, before, he said, you are far off. Later, he said, there is a gulf. Now, he's saying, you cannot even come. I cannot go. Now, if you only focus on you cannot come, you will lose the trick. Say, I too, I cannot. Say, I cannot. Say, cannot. So, the rich man is being tormented by the pangs of separation. That is clear already. I've told you that. He is being tormented by the pangs of separation. So what separated them?
Hold on.
The Gulf, right? Now, is Abraham too in his permanent destination? Abraham, is that where he's going?
No.
Because from everything we have seen right now, wherever Abraham and that guy is the same place. But something was separating them, which is figurative. So, Abraham too will not be there forever. So, what is that gulf that separated them?
What is in Hebrews 11 verse 1?
Hold on. Faith is the what? Substance of things. Evidence of things. So, now, hold on earth, what must you have? On earth, faith. What will faith do? Faith will set the boundaries.
Hold on.
Faith will set the boundaries, right? But that your faith, once you get to hell, what will it become? Hope. Meaning, what happened, what you did, the gospel you received on earth, has set a permanent boundary that, don't worry, you have the hope of resurrection.
Are you with me?
So, two class of people in the same place. One knew I will live here. The other has no hope of living. Simple. Two set of people, the same location. One had the hope. It's already settled that I will live here. The other knew that he's not living there. Because see, follow me. See 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, I've answered the question in the exam, right? That thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Actually, you know what actually happened? When I was explaining in the series, that understanding Genesis, I was talking more on the faith part, on what they did on that. Now, but what they did on that in the, when they now got to, what they call it? Hell? What happened? It became hope. So I actually taught that in Asaba, actually. So sorry. that is a little Pastor James meeting in Asaba. So if you have been following my YouTube videos, you will see it there. See 28. For I have what? Five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest also they come into this place of torment. 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So, Brian Ritty, from verse 29, why was the rich man in hell? Why was he in hell? Simple now. Don't say unbelief. Stop. I said from verse 29. Hallelujah. Refusal to hear, to heed to the message of Moses and the prophet. Now, of course, now in this church, you should know better now. Which of the messages of the prophets? Is it the accusations of the prophets or what they said about Jesus? So, verse, what do you call it? Grammar. Okay, verse 30. And he said, now, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Praise God. So that clearly tells us that Abraham's bosom is not heaven, right? It's just same as hell. Why it was difficult for us to comprehend that it was the same hell? is because of our definition of hell, that there is fire there. The fire in hell is the pain of what? Separation. That is more than physical fire. When the translators of different portions of the Bible, when they are trying to depict the sorrow in hell, the best they can use for you to understand is what? Fire. Hell, fire. Hallelujah. Okay, we're not studying hell today. Not today. Maybe in the last part of our salvation, we see hell. Hallelujah. Since we are not going there, let's first study heaven, right? Praise God. So, yes, they were good people. They believed in the redemption that was to come. But they will have to wait for the redemption to be actualized and completed before they can enter heaven. So, they were righteous, but they were still dead. Are you with me? Do you understand? Righteous, but still dead. So, their faith gave them hope that someday we shall see God. Hallelujah. That someday we shall be delivered from this pit. That someday our journey, our sojourn in the world of the dead will be over. John 14:13. Sorry, I said John. That should be Job. Job 14:13. Oh, thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. 14, want to go? If a man die, shall he live again? What did he say? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Hallelujah. Change there is not talking about until my... Don't wait for all those miraculous. No, it's talking... See this. Hebrews 9:15. It's talking about the day that Jesus will come and pay for the price for sin. Prophetic. Escape from the grave. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the words. You have to pay attention to each of the words. I'll wait for you. Anybody sleeping? Nobody. Say nobody. Say I'm not sleeping in the spirit. Say but physically, I'm in Abraham's. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, let's go again. Hebrews 9:15. Slowly want to go. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the words. Oh, that they that are called might receive the promise of eternal. So the sins that were committed under the old covenant, when were they forgiven? By means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the words, false testaments. For the redemption of the transgression that were under the false testaments. The same thing he's saying in Romans 3:24. No, he's saying Romans 3:23. Say, for all have sinned. Open your Bible. I'm not quoting for you. Open. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 21 says, being justified, what? Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a what? Propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, remission of the sins that are past. So, past. What is it mean of past? Sins committed under the false testament. Because in your own covenant, there is no imputation of sin. Do you understand? So, when was sin imputed? Under the first testament. So, those are the sins that were past. Some people have interpreted that place to say that you only forgave your sins before you became born again. No. Okay? Do you understand? Rush to Hebrews 11:39. So, they all waited for thousands of years until that eternal blood was shed. Hebrews 11:39, 39 and 40. Maybe this one will clear it for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heaven and earth are thine. Angels bow before you. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Hebrews 11:39. Want to go? And this all, want to go, everybody, let's read. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not. Say they without us. So us there is who? In Christ. It's not saying really us now. Now, why could he say us? We are with Christ. When Jesus died, what happened to us? We died with him. When Abraham cannot really say that, because he has not died. But we can say, when he died, we what? We died with him. When we rose with him. When he suffered with him. So that's why he said, they without us. So who are in the us? Mention three people in the us. Three people in the us. You, number one. You two. That's two people. Now remember one person. Jesus. Hallelujah. Three people in the us. Can you say, Abraham, Michael, Sabuki, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say we are in Christ. Say they without us. Say us. Is Christ plus the saints. Do you understand that? Good. So, flow with me. So, Abraham and others could only enter heaven with Jesus. They waited. That is why Jesus was called the firstborn out of the dead. The firstborn. First man to escape death. To escape hell. Technically. So it was a serious captivity anyway. But on that resurrection money, we had a clue from Matthew 27. Check it, 51. Matthew 27, 51 gave us a clue. Matthew 27, 51. But Jude, don't disturb the brethren. Want to go? Yes, let's read. And behold, that means just that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. 52. And the graves were opened, and many body of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. So they eventually escaped. So now you can see that the resurrection of Jesus is the only reason why the saints entered heaven. Not anybody's self-righteousness or personal holiness or moral operations. No. They believe the report, yes. But salvation is beyond your believing. Now I have to explain that a bit. Salvation is beyond I believed. Salvation is not just in the believing, but in the offering. Hallelujah. Praise God. They must believe to be saved though, but the salvation is not the believing. Salvation is what Christ has done. You get that? They must believe to be saved. I say they must. If you don't put that one, you become a universalist. They must believe to be saved, but salvation is not the believing. Salvation is what Christ has done. Say the sacrifice of Jesus is my salvation. So that faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that is what qualifies a man for heaven, not good works, for eternal life, not good works at all. I write this down. I wrote it in my book here. I said, good works are post-salvation or post-eternal life necessities and outworkings. Good works, they are post-salvation, post-eternal life, necessities, and outworkings. Not pre-eternal life qualification. They are necessities and outworkings in eternal life. After you are saved. Not qualification for eternal life. David fought many battles for God. Mental exploits, spiritual exploits, works. Why do you think your own is enough? People fought war in the name of God. Yet they couldn't enter. So what have you done? Praise God.
See, we have rewards in heaven, but heaven itself is not a reward. Heaven is a gift. It's your homeland. Praise God. Nigeria is not a reward to anybody. But a lot of people are trying to enter Canada now. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Hope they are not here. Should go to Afghanistan for the gospel. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And don't forget, I've told you, like as we said right now, if there's anything you still don't understand, that Luke 16, shout somebody up in this place. Don't first start by shouting me up. Shout somebody up. Shout up Stagera, start up Statola, shout up, just shout up somebody. Okay? Praise God. Nowadays, very soon you start chatting up, rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Why? She's smiling. She's blushing. Amen, amen. Are you there? Yeah, okay. I have amplified version here. So I read my amplified. Just follow with your KJV slowly. So, for it is he who delivered us and saved us and called us with an holy calling, with a calling in itself is holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration and vocation of holiness. He did it not because of any merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose. Say his own purpose. And grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, ages ago. Hallelujah. So you will not only outwork holiness because, so you will only outwork holiness because you are already holy. That's what I'm going to say. You will only work out holiness because you are already what? Holy. Now, verse 10. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, in brackets, immunity from eternal death to life through the gospel. I will take that verse 10 again. You can just pick any key point there. He's serious. See, he said it is that purpose. Don't forget verse 9. He told you in verse 9 that it's not because of any good thing you have done, but because of his own purpose. His own purpose. He purposed himself. Are you with me? So he now said in verse 10 here, it is that purpose and grace which he has now made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing, through the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ, who annulled death. So if you are looking for a key point, he annulled death. Number one, ooh, glory to God, and made it of no effect, and brought life and immortality. In brackets, immortality means immunity from eternal death. He brought it to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, have you heard of stories of maybe in the Yoruba land or in the other old kingdoms of when a man has conquered all the kingdoms, he has conquered this, conquered that, now he's now growing old. And say, how can I conquer this one? But the gospel has a solution. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. No person, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. See what he's saying here. So, yes, I know that sin will not have dominion over you. But see that scripture. He annulled death. He brought life and immortality. Immunity from eternal death. So, the scripture didn't say you are immune from sin. He's saying you are immune from dying. You see, I've not gotten it, have you? He didn't say you are immune from sin. He's saying you are immune from dying. Meaning you are forever protected from the penalty of sin. Immune from eternal death. Okay, what is immunity? I take it again. You know, sin brings death, right? So, he should have said, I have immuned you from sinning. But he said, I have immuned you from dying.
So since brick dead, but now you have an unbreakable death resistance. Meaning, when a believer sins, immunity speaks for him. And he cannot die for his sins. Glory to God. Same way, no, it's not me. It's God. He's the one that put it there. If it's me, I won't say it. It's God that put it there like that. So, death cannot touch a Christian irrespective of his sins. Don't confuse anybody. Come on. No high point of teaching. That's not when you pick remote. So, death cannot touch a Christian irrespective of his sin. Do you understand? Death here is not physical. So, a Christian has been injected with an anti-hellfire. Anti-death, anti-destruction, anti-repercussion of sins. Immunity. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, if you are not happy with this, just carry, when you get to heaven, carry a black card. Go and show God. We know, why would this one be here? We know go agree. Oh, we know go agree. He must go back to hell. He know go agree. God will ask you, how do you get here? Is it your blood or my own blood? Praise God. Say, I have immunity. Say, I have immunity. Bramake, play the keyboard for me. Say, I have immunity. Say, I have immunity against spiritual death. Say, I have the life of God in me. I don't sin. Say, but if I sin, I have immunity. Say, I bone face. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you say, why are you saying it? Just emphasize the fact that. What people will say? Say, we know that they have immunity, but you emphasize the fact that sin will not have dominion over them. Just emphasize that one. And just that one, just keep it small. Just be saying, small, small. God use the word immortality for you. Why? Assurance. He wants you to be able to buzz. Anywhere, no matter the corner, no matter the circumstance, I have an anti-death. I cannot die. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's who you are. That is who God has made you. So that death that could, I've told you, in the Old Testament, death was tyrannical. So when God did what he wanted to do, life too was merciless. Merciless on death. Life now is merciless on death. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because then, both good and bad people, they all went to the same place. But now, anyone that will say yes to what Jesus has done, he has been forever exempted from the consequence of sin. That wages of sin for him paid, gift of God, eternal life. It doesn't change. It doesn't quiver. God is not shivering when he was saying this. He was not saying, Paul, don't write it. Don't write it. No! He said, tell them again. Don't forsake your first love. In Revelation chapter 3. What's the first love? Don't forsake my love for you. He's not saying, don't forget your fervency. He said, no! Don't leave that first love. That love of your salvation, that first love, that first joy of your salvation, don't leave it. Romans 5:5. God commanded his love to all us. So, what am I quoting? In that where we are getting us, Christ died for us. Much more, being now justified, which shall be what? Saved from wrath through him. For if when we are enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, now much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Say now much more. Say now much more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say immunity. Immortality. Against eternal death. That's why Christians don't make heaven. Heaven was prepared for Christians. I have to make heaven. You don't make heaven. It's the wrong terminology. You will not find it anywhere in the Bible. It will give you a works mentality. Christians don't make heaven, brethren. It's made for us. 1 Corinthians 15. 55. Now you understand this statement now. Where we started from? 1555. Are you there, brethren? Come on, you open. See it again. It's a reality. The Bible has not been updated. So we will not add more. But we keep feasting on the same truth. Until everywhere we are going, in the dream, in the day. And I love something that Pastor Ari said some time ago. Pastor Ari, he said there was a time that he had a dream that somebody, I think in the dream, said somebody, say sorry, is he a demon or something? Or somebody tell him that, what did he say again? And then he told him that he's not going to heaven or something. Oh, he said he picked him, he pursued him in the dream. You will carry this consciousness, you will carry it to the dream now, you will carry it everywhere. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not that somebody you see a masquerade in your dream and you are coming to a church to give testimony that you didn't die. Ah, no, you pursue him. Pursue. Ah, the demon is going to hell. He's not yet there. That's why he's after you. But you have an anti-hell. So pursue him entirely. Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Now, read it again now. Oh, what? Oh, death. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God who give us the what? Victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what he was saying. That death, what can you do to these ones? What you did to all of them then? Yeah, try it now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Jesus is not boasting here on what you will do. No. He is boasting on what he has done. He's not boasting that, don't worry, I have... I think I was going to see that in the other sermon today. It's not boasting like Job that, have you seen my son, Michael? There's no one, I have told you, God has not boasted about his children like that. No. He says, think about Romans 4, about Abraham. He said, if Abraham have anything to glory. He said, if Abraham, how did he put this now? He said, if Abraham had like any qualification, he said, he cannot glory before God. Say, what says the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted for him. Say, to him that walketh is the reward reckoned not of grace but of debt. Say, but to one that walketh not but believeth on him that justified the what? Ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. As David also now described the blessedness of the man unto whom God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Unto whom God. Saying what? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are pardoned. Next verse, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Comment this blessedness on the circumcision, and he said no. On the uncircumcision also. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So Hebrews 7:25. This we just start praying. Hebrews 7:25. Want to go? Let's read together. Yes. Therefore, he's able. Say he's able. Say ability. Say salvation is about ability. Say salvation is about the strength of God. Glory to God. Say, he's able. He's able. Now you think that God in Christ has done just what he said he will do. He has fulfilled the promise unto us. Because Acts 13, verse 33, said the promise which God made unto the fathers, he has fulfilled the same unto us, their children. In that what? He raised up Jesus again from the dead. So see this one. He is able to save them to where? So you don't, for you to say a Christian can go to hell, you are questioning the ability of God. He is able. Amplified said, completely, perfectly, finally, for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, for he ever liveth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, my salvation is dependent on the lifespan of God. That's why we say in Colossians 3 that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just pray in tongues and I'm done. Hey, oh, bless you, somebody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yaketo raste. Kola tetete. Zebola kora zovala dadeda. Jekola masegepile masegepile rakatele mazevole masegepile atotato rasakava. Oh, ye pile rose vile mazevole mandande. Tore zova. Oh, my debt is paid. It is painful. But the precious blood that my Jesus paid. Oh, the cause of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, is free. Oh, my debt is paid again. Oh, my debt is paid in full. Is paid in full. Yeah, by the precious blood that my Jesus. Oh, the cause of sin. Oh, the cause of sin has no hold on. Whom the Son sets free, whom the Son sets free, oh, is free. Oh, the death of Christ, my salvation. For your blood poured out over me.
Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray in tongues. I am vaccinating this. My comprehension of salvation is effectual. Lapo suturi te colaste. Colabalabo suturi rasi canta malamasunto malamashantao. Catile mose telemalemalemasente. Catile rotete. Weapo la zofa. Immunity. Now my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Praise and honor. Come on, we are praying for the next 30 minutes. Just be on your feet and pray. Pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. Yalebali keti la zovala. Yepoli ma se kote de der. Rosato kalima ze bola de. Yambala ma ze pale andati. Shato ilemo sote korato te. La keto la po.